from where you're standing, that mountain seems too hard to climb, and the valley you just came through has made you wonder why. Before you lose faith, just think about His grace. You'll find it's all sufficient, so believe and He'll make a way. God is greater than the need. He's bigger than the problem. No matter how bad it seems, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. He can do anything, for He's greater. God is greater. Problem, no matter how bad it seems, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. He can do anything, for He's greater. God is greater. There to disguise the pain inside. But this ain't the first trial, and you know it won't be the last. So if you've made it before, you can make it again. Just keep going and don't look back. For God is greater than the need. He's bigger than the problem. No matter how bad it seems, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. He can do anything, for He's greater. God is greater than the need. Unanswered questions there to disguise the pain inside. But this ain't the first trial, and you know it won't be the last. So if you made it before, you can make it again. Just keep going and don't look back. For God is greater than the need. He's bigger than the problem. No matter how bad it seems, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. Oh, He can do anything, for He's greater. God is greater than the need. Oh, God is greater than the need. He is bigger the problem, no matter how bad it seems. Oh, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. He can do
anything. Would everybody stand, please, and join the music?
For He's greater. God is greater than the need. Oh, God is greater than the need. Problem, no matter how bad it seems. Oh, I know that He can solve it. Just trust Him and believe. He can do anything, for He's greater. God is greater than
a week studying and preparing and asking God to help me this morning. And we'll start by reading in the book of Acts, chapter 1, if we may start with verse 7. Verse 7. It's beautiful to study the Bible concerning the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's beautiful to study the Bible concerning anything, to be honest with you. The book is so full of wonderful truth. Wednesday night, if you missed the Bible study Wednesday night, you missed one of the sweetest Wednesday night Bible studies I ever remember. We had a study on the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Brother Marlon got so involved, he continued yesterday morning in the fellowship breakfast. It was wonderful. And if you haven't studied recently about the joy you can have, you need to get involved in it. You do. You don't have to be a sad sack. You ever heard of that term, sad sack? Didn't that used to be a cartoon by the name of Sad Sack? Anybody old enough to remember that? All right, man. Boy, God damn. Praise the Lord, Sister Dolores. I knew I remembered it. Hadn't thought about it in a coon's age. Well, those some more of these old words. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. Dunamis. Dynamite is the meaning of that word. Ye shall receive dynamite. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall receive dunamis. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Judea, that's homeland, in Samaria, and that's out from Judah, and in all the parts unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If you believe that God meant for the gospel to stop at the doors of this church, you do not believe the Bible I hold here to preach this morning. The command of this Bible is that you can have power that makes you a witness all over your community, Judea, all over your neighboring cities, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, as I have you seated, listen to me carefully. I want you to listen with all of your heart as I try my best to show you that the gift of the Holy Ghost and all that he represents is a gift that God the Father hath given to his Son Jesus, and his Son Jesus is committed to give it to us. If you do not have the working of the Holy Ghost in your life, you are missing something breathtaking and wonderful. Father, help your servant preach this morning. Hide me, Lord, that I'm not even visible. You will not come to give me glory. You will not come to elevate the pastor, the speaker, the preacher. Your glory is in Christ. And I pray this morning, you will magnify his name, magnify his person, magnify the gift of his giving, and magnify the gift that he gives, and bring us into a freshness of what the Holy Ghost is to mean to his church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The Holy Ghost, a gift given to you by Jesus Christ. A gift given to you by Jesus Christ. I will never remember Brother Morris preaching one sermon in the fellowship hall during a camp meeting that would have been about 20 to 22 years ago. And I remember him saying in that sermon, God doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost. He fills the Jesus in you with the Holy Ghost. Remember that, Brother Marlon? He doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost. He fills the Jesus that is in you with the Holy Ghost. Boy, what a statement. Never has left me. I've chewed on it ever since. What a truth. Well, this morning, let's look at the fact that the Holy Ghost is a gift that is given to you by Jesus Christ. Oh, you said, I thought the Father gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gave His Son the gift to give you. Okay? He gave His Son the gift. And His Son is commissioned to give that gift to you. I mean, it's just beautiful in the Bible. And so, we're going to follow this beautiful pattern in the Scripture from the conception of Christ in the womb of the mother. And we're going to follow and show the beauty of how the Holy Ghost ministers to us and all of it in the name of and by the power of and through the redemptive graces of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the one thing you must ever remember, and that is that the Holy Ghost is a person. He is a person. He's not a some kind of floating spirit, a floating influence. He is a being, a divine being. He is a sovereign being. He can think in harmony with the Father and the Son. And there's perfect unity between them. And it's okay for you to worship the Father. And it's okay for you to worship the Son. And it's okay for you to worship the Holy Ghost. Do it in harmony, one with the other. Because in reality, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father. But He is also the Spirit of the Son. He is the right arm of the heavenly Trinity. The Father is on His throne. Jesus is at His right hand. The Holy Ghost is in His church. Are you listening? The Father's on His throne. Jesus is at His right hand. And the Holy Ghost is in His church. He is in His church. That is His office at the given time of the church dispensation. To carry on the work of the gospel. The work of the kingdom. And the Father has given all power unto Him. Now listen. The Father has given all power unto His Son. And the truth of it is, the Son has put all responsibility of that power in the person of the Holy Ghost. So that here's a perfect harmony and a perfect picture. And you say, I'm not interested in theology. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Theology is the teachings of the Bible. And the problem with the church world is they're so absent of truth that they, in many cases, don't even know what truth is. And when you try to preach to them the great truths of the Bible, they are dull of hearing because they've never lived in this Bible. I preached at our retreat this year on when water is turned to wine. When water is turned to wine. And I preached on the great miracle, the first of all of them, that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And how they filled the water pots with water at the bidding of the mother of Christ. She simply told them to do what Jesus said. And so they were actually doing what Jesus said. And they filled them to the brim. And you hear people debating, when did that water turn to wine? It's simple. When the container got full. When it was full, the Bible said, to the brim. B-R-I-M. Anybody know what the brim is? Oh, that's the very top edge of any container. And when the water pots was full to the brim, immediately it became wine. Well, that's how you are. You are a water pot. You are a vessel. That's what the Bible says, a vessel. You are a vessel of the Holy Ghost. You get the Word of God in that vessel. Get the truths of the Bible in that vessel. Saturate yourself with those great doctrines of the Holy Scripture. Love them and enjoy them and feast on them and fill yourself with them. And I promise you, without fail, it will never fail. It cannot fail. The moment that pot is full of water to the brim, it turns to wine. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get yourself full of that water to the brim. That holy word, that's what the water is. The holy word, the holy truth of God's divine book. Now, I want us to do some things. I want us to go to the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 34. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. She was not married. She was not a fornicator. She was a pure, virtuous, little Jewish maiden. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Hallelujah. You said, couldn't God have done it without the Holy Ghost? Why should he? The Holy Ghost is his right arm. The Holy Ghost is the expression of his power. The Holy Ghost makes manifest everything God says and everything that God is. And it's in perfect harmony. And so the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. You know, I don't know that there's a distinction between the Holy Ghost coming upon her and the power of the highest overshadowing her. I would presume that is part and lot of each other. Part and lot of each other. But it's a good picture to look at and see the Holy Ghost came upon her. And the power of the highest overshadowed her. I've been in many great church services when the presence of God was real. And only a few people got involved in it. The rest just sat and watched. Now, what happened between the few and the crowd? I'll tell you what happened. One crowd, when the Holy Ghost moved, they moved with the Holy Ghost. They were ready to be part of it. They wanted to be a part of it, like Mary was ready to obey. And so when she yielded, the Holy Ghost moving upon her, he overshadowed her and took hold of her being from her head all the way to her feet. And at the moment of this overwhelming, she was conceived in her womb of a future Messiah who would be born to save the world from their sins. This was a work of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to tell you for a moment God couldn't have done it without his Spirit, but God does nothing without his Spirit. Why should he move in any way but how it's right for him to move? Woo! Hallelujah! So the Holy Ghost came upon her, and the power of the highest overshadowed her. And that holy thing which was born of her was the Son of God. Are you listening to me? In that very moment, it's the most exciting thing in the world. In that very moment, the God up in heaven sent his Son that had been his Son for all eternity. His only begotten Son, his eternal Son, the first and the last, which was to be, every bit of it. He was the eternal Son of God, and the Father sent him as the Holy Ghost moved upon Mary. And Jesus disappeared from the heavens for 9 months and abode in the womb of a godly little girl. That's an overwhelming thing. How does the people who don't believe in the Trinity get around this? I don't know. I mean, the heavens was void of the Son of God while 9 months developed and continued because God the Father had sent his Son and the Son was in Mary's womb. You say, how do you know that? Well, just read a little further. I'm not going to go read it. But Mary, excited. Oh, something has happened in her. I'll guarantee you one thing. She knew she was expecting a child. She knew she was pregnant. And don't even like that word. She knew she was expecting a child. And she was so excited. She jumps up and runs to Elizabeth, one of her cousins' house. And Mary goes into the house where Elizabeth abode. And Elizabeth was pregnant. She had 6 months already developed in her womb. John the Baptist was developing in Elizabeth's womb. And Mary came in the door. And when Mary came in the door, John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth began to jump. What the Bible said. He began to jump around in the womb of Elizabeth because Jesus just walked in the door. Oh, you said Jesus in the door? It was Mary, but Jesus was in the womb of Mary. Oh, shakalaka, Roman, woo, hallelujah. How does the world get around something as wonderful as this? The Bible said Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost at the presence of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary. That's so breathtaking. I'll never forget. I was invited some years ago to go to the Unitarian Church in Charlotte and be part of a big debate. Abortion and the right or wrong of killing unborn children. Now I'm on my way over there, and I prepared this eloquent, sophisticated, intellectual presentation. I'm going to get up there and argue, and I'm going to do a good job. I was well prepared. And the Holy Ghost said, throw them notes aside. I got a different angle for you to take. You just take the Bible. You just read those scriptures in the Bible about these very things we're talking about. And so I got up there and opened my Bible. Hallelujah. In front of that bunch of Unitarians and liberals, the Democrat Party was there. The Republican Party was there. And I was there. And God was there. Hallelujah. That's what's important. God was there. And I started reading. Woo! There was a man there full of demons. And he starts screaming. Man, he screamed. I didn't even pay him any attention. I made like he wasn't there. I just kept on going. I knew what it was. I just kept on reading. Oh, I just kept on reading. I read these scriptures, and I talked about Mary, and I talked about Elizabeth, and I talked about this beautiful story. And I said, what if they would have aborted Jesus? What if they would have put Jesus to death in Mary's womb? Do you understand what that would cost the world? And it was an overwhelming event. If anybody remembers the sheriff back then, I almost called his name and it slipped me. He was there. And when the service was over, when the debate was over, it was all talking, here came that man right straight up there for me. And here came the good old sheriff. And he stood right behind me. And I said, sir, I know why you were here. You weren't here to protect me. You was here to hide from that man. That's about right. But it was a marvelous time. Because I'm telling you something. When you look at the story from the Bible, it's breathtaking. He was in Mary's womb as sure as I'm standing here. And he was there 9 months developing as a little baby until the Son of God would be laid in a manger. Hallelujah. What a story it is. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand and thank him, will you? You mind doing that? Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about to preach too long there. I want to tell you, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And he was in Mary's womb as the eternal, divine, everlasting, never dying Son of the living God. He was there to develop until he could be revealed to the world as the God-man, the Emmanuel. What a story. We'll go to Luke 3. Luke 3 and verse 21. Luke 3 and verse 21. Oh, I'll tell you, I love these scriptures. They're overwhelming to me. Now we're going to move over to the River of Jordan. And John is out there baptizing. Baptizing. Listen to what he said. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened. And praying. And the heavens were opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now I want you to notice, John the Baptist is baptizing in the River of Jordan. Jesus has developed for 30 years, living in Nazareth with mother and the stepfather. And now it's time to go into the ministry. If he's going to go into the ministry, he's got to have more than Jesus. As wonderful as he was, as divine as he was, as sovereign as he was, it was God's plan to fill his son with the Holy Ghost without measure. The Lord Jesus there on the in the water, I presume, still just being baptized. And the Holy Ghost descended like a dove, bodily shape, like a dove, and abode upon him. And I'm here to tell you, the person of the Holy Ghost took complete charge of the person of Jesus Christ. And from that moment, you can't call Jesus anything but a Holy Ghost filled Savior, a Holy Ghost baptized servant of the Most High God. Oh, I tell you, that's exciting to me. And from that moment, he moves in the power of the Holy Ghost, and nothing could resist him. They couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. They couldn't ignore him. Oh, they couldn't stop him. They couldn't remove him. There was nothing they could do, because he was in the power of the person of the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, in the book of John chapter 3, I won't go to it. I will not have the time. It says that God gave him the Holy Ghost without measure. Have you ever read that? Have you ever read that term? Have you ever considered what he was saying? What did it mean? He gave him the Holy Ghost without measure. It meant that the Holy Ghost in his perfect fullness came to abide upon and dwell in Jesus Christ. So that now Israel, all Israel, has got to put up with a Savior who is Holy Ghost baptized, two in one. Hallelujah. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. You talk about a picture. You talking about something beautiful. Woo! The Father spake from heaven again. Oh, glory. Well, the first time. Here. First time. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What was the Father saying? He was saying from the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb, through the time of his birth, the things that he said and did as a 12-year-old boy. Remember? 12 years old in the temple. And his mom and daddy had left him unknowingly. I've never figured that one out. How could you leave a 12-year-old son and not know it? I won't try to figure it out this morning. But anyhow, they went a day's journey and came back to find him. He was down there on the back streets, sitting in somebody's house. No, he was in the temple. Talking to the educated elite. I mean, he had the crowd of the greatest educators under Gamaliel, that great teacher. I mean, theology in its top level of intellect and wisdom. And the Son of God was walking among them and literally debating and destroying every concept, every idea, every thought they had. Oh, Shikloba, hallelujah. He was answering it because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was answering it because he was full of the Holy Ghost. What a picture. What a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. He had the Holy Ghost then, but he was full of the Holy Ghost later. You know, that's a perfect picture. You get saved, the Holy Ghost is with you. Oh, yes. I love the words of one of the greatest preachers I've ever known in the Baptist circles. He said, when I was saved, I had the Holy Ghost. But when I got baptized, he had me. Hallelujah. So Jesus had the Holy Ghost in the temple. But when he came to the place of baptism, the Holy Ghost had him. And the fact the Bible says, immediately the Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness. Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah. 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 What a gift giver he is. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How does the church world get away from the absolute necessity of the moving of the Holy Ghost? A church is nothing but a club until the Holy Ghost shows up. Somebody raise a hand. The Holy Ghost is nothing but a club. Nothing but a club until the Holy Ghost shows up. Now, I got to take you. I want you to get the Bible. I'm not up here just trying to preach to you these beautiful things that I know and I love with all my heart. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And let's go down, if we might, to verse 31. I love this. Man, do I love this. You know, this Bible is so wonderful. Brother Gans preached last Sunday night on being refilled. And I literally set my heart on Monday. Maybe Sunday night, I'm not sure. But I know by Monday, I was setting my heart. I want to be refilled with the Holy Ghost this week. I want to be refilled. How many of you would like to be refilled with the Holy Ghost this morning? Why don't you get yourself ready right where you're sitting? How many of you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I see some of you aren't even raising your hand. You're satisfied? No, you're not satisfied where you're at. You know the need of the hour is to be full of the Holy Ghost. So get hungry. He may just decide to fill you this morning. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be outstanding. Oh, what a God we serve. All right, the book of Acts, chapter 2. I like to read the whole chapter, to be honest with you. But let's just go to verse 31. Let's read together. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection. This is Peter talking. Spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh. Now notice this. Did see corruption. How many noticed that? He was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now Jesus was in a tomb for 3 days. I used to work in the funeral home. I used to go back there and help them embalm bodies. You didn't know I used to do that, did you? Well, it's not a good memory of mine. I'll never forget one time we was back there. We had this dead man laying on a stainless steel table. And he had his arms folded. And all of a sudden, one of his arms slipped. And the elbow hit that table like he was coming up off of that table. And I almost left the room. I'll never forget it. Oh, I'm sorry to tell you things like that, but they're stuck up here, and I got to give them to you so I can get them out of here, okay? But I'll never forget it. Never forget it. But the Bible said, Jesus, in that tomb for 3 days. Can you imagine a Mideastern tomb with closed a door on the front of it? And he's in there for 3 days. His body would have smelled terrible. He would have been in the utter effects of the decay of his flesh. But he laid there for 3 days and not a skin worm could get in that tomb. I'm here to tell you, not an ounce of death could show up in the place where he was planted. Hallelujah. There was a divine body laid in there that had no sin. And no sin means no death. And no death means no corruption. And no corruption means no graveyard. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And the Son of God laying in there, and his body could not corrupt. Woo! Oh, great day. Laying there just like he was alive, except the soul was down in hell. Oh, his soul was in hell, not lower hell, upper hell. You know the difference, don't you? How many of you know the difference between upper Sheol and lower Sheol? Listen to me. Some of you don't know the difference. That in the Old Testament, before Jesus was resurrected, there was a lower hell and an upper hell. It was in Sheol. It was in the bottom. It was in the heart of the earth. And in lower Sheol was the wicked. They were there in hell, fire, miserable. But upper Sheol was called Abraham's bosom. And they were there because they'd been redeemed by the offerings of blood and the sacrifices of the past. And they were waiting for the Son of God to come to the earth and to die on the cross and come down to visit them. Because they knew when he got there, he was going to preach resurrection and life and victory and triumph. And so the Son of God was in hell. He'd been preaching 3 days and three nights and not 2 days or 1.5 days. It was not Friday to Sunday. It was Wednesday to Sunday. And I can prove that to you in the Bible. But he was there 3 days. And he was there preaching this glorious gospel. Hallelujah. And by the 3 days, he had the keys of death and hell in the grave. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. And he came out of there. Can you imagine? The devil just absolutely disturbed to the core. See, when the devil crucified Jesus, He thought he was winning a great victory. Sister Mathis, 3 days later. Brother Jimmy, 3 days later, the old devil said, "Wow, have I made a mess. Wow." Can you imagine the devil finally saying, "I made a mess"? I don't know that he did, but he must have thought it. Oh, you see. But the Bible said he could not corrupt. He could not corrupt. Now, I got to finish this. It's very important. I'm being careful now. Somebody told me this week, you're climbing the steps a little more careful than you used to. There's a reason for that, but don't bother. Just mind your own business, okay? Go to verse 32. Listen now. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted." Notice this now. "Having received of the Father," are you listening? "The promise of the Holy Ghost." What? Jesus. "Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." Oh, he had the Holy Ghost in him. But now he's getting a promise for the church. Now he's getting ready, hallelujah, to send the day of Pentecost upon 120 in an upper room. He's getting ready. And the Father makes the gift to him. I want to read it again. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he," Jesus now, "has shared for this," which you now see and hear. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." I got to add something there. I know this is kind of a rabbit trail, but while this was preparing for Jesus to send the baptism of the Holy Ghost, The Father said, "I'm going to make you the triumphant one. And I'm going to give you power to continue until the devil is on your foot, at your foot feet, footprints, at your footstool." Hallelujah. You say, "Brother Chambers, what's about to happen in this world?" The time for Jesus to receive the glory of the eternal kingdom is at the door. Hallelujah. The devil has ranted and raved. The devil has fought and labored. He's come after you. He's come after you, Brother Jimmy. He's come after Joe Chambers. He's come after you, Martin Clark, and every one of you. But I got news for you. You just hold your ground. Hold your shoulders high. Don't let unbelief touch you. You know unbelief will kill you. You know unbelief will rob you of every promise God's got. The reason people don't get the baptism is because they don't believe they're going to get the baptism. They keep seeking like they're going to make it happen. No, he's already made it happen. You don't need to make it happen. Just receive him. Throw your hand up right now and receive him. Hallelujah. Just let him come. Let him take over. Oh, I'm telling you, that's what he wants to do. That's what God meant in his church. Woo, hallelujah. And so Jesus has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. When you hear somebody speaking in tongues, what are you hearing? The promise of Jesus fulfilled. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you feel fire, what are you feeling? The promise of Jesus fulfilled in your life. Hallelujah. He said he was going to send this, and I'm telling you, he has sent it. He don't have to send it again. The Holy Ghost is already here. He's walking up and down in this very building this morning. Does anybody feel him but Brother Chambers? He's right here. Hallelujah. And he should have baptized you. He should have filled you. He should have overwhelmed you. He should have taken your life in his hands. Woo, glory to God. Oh, church, hear me. He is the baptizer. It is a gift from Jesus. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to plead with him for it. It is yours. I said it is yours. He has come to give you the gift of his Holy Ghost. And there's nothing in the world as wonderful. Now, I got more points, and I don't know I can get to all of them. But let's go to one more. Romans 8. Romans 8. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible. We'll start reading with verse 8. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Brother Chambers, I need the Holy Ghost. I'm still in the flesh. Well, you need to get good and sanctified, full of the Word, and get this water that's been turned to wine. Get this water that's been turned to wine. Hallelujah. Let me read on verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, notice he's called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in the same verse. Did you notice that? Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You say, Brother Chambers, do you mean that I have the Holy Ghost when I'm saved? If you're truly saved, you can't be saved without the work of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Yes, you have the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to tell you right now, here's what's wrong with much of the church. They quench the Spirit all the time. And you don't quench Him but so many times until He takes His flight. So, if you're feeling what I'm preaching, don't you just sit there and look at me, throw your hands up, and surrender, and give yourself to Him. He's ready. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Chamberlain, what will happen to me? You'll have more joy than you ever thought possible. Your life will be so utterly turned upside down, you won't be able to get away with nothing. In fact, if you're good and saved, you can't get away with nothing. You may get away with something two or three times. Then the something you've been getting away from will leave you alone. And you'll be doing your own thing, and you'll be lost as you can be. Oh, but he said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. How many have the Spirit living in you this morning? Raise your hand up high. Come on, throw it as high as you can get it. Come on, wave it around up there. I mean, shake it a few times. Hallelujah. Make sure everybody sees it, especially the devil. I'm saved by the blood. I'm saved by the blood. I can't get away with nothing. You know, sometimes I get a little bad feeling. Oh, you know, Brother Chambers, he's so perfect. He never gets a bad feeling. You just don't know what you're talking about. There's an Adamic nature back there in me in a cage. And he kicks the door sometime till I feel like screaming. And a few times he gets a little upper hand. But don't take me long to see, uh-oh, he's been getting the upper hand. I got to put a stop to him. So what do? I find me a place in the altar. You ever have to do that? You ever have to do that? Any of you ever have to, do that, Brother Jimmy? Now, you know, you're a Holy Ghost filled preacher. You're perfect. I mean, there's no way. No, but we're all real, aren't we? We all are real, just as real as anybody else. I want to tell you something. But if the Spirit of Him that abides in you, He will stop you. He will put an end to it. He'll convict you. He'll shake you. You can't even stay out of church when you're full of the life of Christ without being miserable about it. You say, I've been staying out of church all the time. You need to repent and get right with God. That's what you need. I'm telling you, you get full of Christ, you can't stand being out of church. You get full of the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit comes when you the Lord Jesus does nothing but by His Spirit. But I got to read on. I want to go to verse 11 where I'm going to conclude this morning. If the Spirit, are you reading with me? How many got your Bible open? If the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead. You mean Jesus didn't resurrect on His own? Well, He could have, but He had no need to do it. Because the Holy Ghost was there for that purpose. It was a joint surrender. It was a joint dedication. It was a joint exercise. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are in everything together. And there's never a one of them that operates apart from the other. They work in perfect harmony. There's an absolute unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And it's so beautiful. And so the Bible said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. On that morning of the resurrection, I can almost imagine it. That morning was actually resurrected in the evening, to be honest with you. On what we would know of as Saturday afternoon after sundown. After sundown. That's when He was actually resurrected. And they found Him the next morning. They found the empty tomb, I should have said, the next morning. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, when He was in that tomb, He was as dead as any man can be dead. He only died because He willed to die. They didn't kill Him. They couldn't have killed Him in 10 years of crucifixion. They could have hung Him on a tree and left Him hang there for 20 years, and He'd have been as alive as when they hung Him there. Because there was no sin. There could be no death. There could be no corruption. There could be no end of His victory and triumph. Everything was one. And so if Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. How many need the Holy Ghost dwell in you now? If He dwells in you, what does He do? He quickens your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What does that word quicken mean? Make alive in a heavenly fashion. Make alive in a heavenly fashion. Make alive in a supernatural glory. Make alive in abundance of life. Make alive in joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passeth all understanding. You better stand up before I quit keep preaching, okay? Everybody standing. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. God wants you to have this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he gave it to his son. And his son walks the aisles of this church. You say, I don't see him. You don't need to see him. How many of you feel him? He's here. Oh, bless your heart, Stephanie. Hallelujah. Bless your heart, church. I want to tell you something. There's no life like this life. And these churches so desperate and so dead. Just a club. They need this mighty move of the Holy. Boy, wouldn't it not scare them to death? How many of you remember when the man was healed in the book of Acts chapter 3? And as soon as he got healed, he'd never been in church in his life. He could not. They wouldn't let him. He was crippled. Couldn't get in that Old Testament temple. But he's healed. And so now he runs into the temple. And he's a jumping. And he's a leaping. Hallelujah. And that whole place is shook to the core. Can you imagine? Oh, I'd like to see it happen in Myers Park Baptist. I'd like to see it happen in Myers Park Presbyterian. I'd like to see it happen in churches all over this city. I'm telling you, there'd be a transformation. There'd be a change. It's real. It's real. And who can have this gift? Well, go back to Hallelujah. Acts 2. Hallelujah. The gift is unto you and to your children and as many as are afar off. If you're far off from Calvary, I was too when I came. But now I'm not. I've been made close. Oh, Brother Derek, it's good to see you smiling this morning. You know, God is so good to us. Do you understand how blessed we are? I want you to raise your hand and ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost like you've never been full. It's all hallelujah. Do we have any music? Oh, what a God. What a God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What mighty power. What mighty grace. What mighty anointing. Hallelujah. I'd love to see everybody in this building get something fresh from God this morning. Whatever you want. The promise is unto you. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, oh, Shabbat, that healing feel Brother Jimmy's also. I feel it, brother. I sent the heart of Moho, Randy Kato Moho, Rian Motosekali Kaboa, Ha ha ha, Rian Sindicula Kaba, hallelujah, healed in the name of Jesus, healed in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me, church? What do you want from God this morning? Let's just pray. Come on, happy cry, Sakala Boha. Oh, you're healed, Brother Jimmy Mathis. I claim it in Jesus. Run my soul. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, sing it.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way.
Oh, I like that.
For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this.
That the comforter
of mine,
sing it with all your young. Oh, he abides. Oh, I got him this morning. He's abiding. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, hallelujah. I want everybody in this building who wants something from God to fill the altar. Come, visitor. Come, lady. Visitor. Come, brother. And give me my son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the perilous sea of time. Rolling clouds and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. When the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll
we'll understand it better by and by. And we are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of shelter and of food with thirsty hills and barren land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better
by and by.
And trials hard on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, then we will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And here temptation's hidden snare often takes us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better. On that last verse, here temptation's hidden snare often takes us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh yes, by and by, when the morning